Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Harris.
And this episode is sponsored by Dana Monsees. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Dana.
Today we will be discussing chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, or the Hot Cup of Fire. That threw me off, but the chapter title is actually the Goblet of Fire.
So I do that on purpose.
Reading the Goblet of Fire. And the chapter is Goblet of Fire or Hot Cup, whatever you prefer. So I hope you're ready to dive into the details. And before we begin, Meg has something for our weekly profit.
I do. It's more so a rumor, but I thought that this could be a nice little discussion. So like over the past couple of months, we've gotten word from like Australia and Canada that Netflix got all of the Harry Potter films or some of them.
Interesting.
And I think France maybe. But like America's not getting them.
Why?
Well, the rumor.
Is it because we complain about not having them?
No.
The rumor is really annoying, if I'm going to be honest. Okay. Because apparently Warner Media and NBC Universal are starting their own streaming service.
Ugh.
Can we stop this nonsense?
No, well, Disney's doing it, so why not them?
Well, right, exactly. It makes more sense. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not trying to just be a Disney defender.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know it was a video.
Not trying to be a Disney defender, but, like, it makes more sense for them to have their own because they have so much content and, like, so much old content that they could bring back that people would be interested in streaming. But, like, every single movie, you know, company can't now have their own. That's going to be so frustrating.
Yeah.
It sucks. But they say that Harry Potter's not coming to Netflix in America because apparently in 2019 and 2020, Warner Media and NBC Universal both have streaming services launching. So that's two different streaming services launching in the next 2 years.
That's crazy.
How much money do they need from me?
I mean, I won't pay for it because I don't care enough.
No, but it's just like, it's frustrating because like streaming services came about to save you money on cable. And now there's so many streaming services. Well, it's almost as much as cable.
It's almost like you say the whole point of it really is to have everything in one place.
Right.
And now you have to go A, B, and C places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's not, it's like, it's totally defeating the purpose of streaming services. So it's really frustrating because now you can pretty much bet that all NBC and Warner Brothers movies are going to leave Netflix and Hulu and everything, and they're going to go to streaming service. I mean, but
Disney as well, right?
Disney is leaving. Yeah, Netflix.
Well, they pulled before they had, they pulled everything off of Netflix anyways, and then all of the new movies, they're like, they're going to go on Netflix for a while anyways, and then so like Beauty and the Beast I think is already gone.
It's gone like tomorrow, I think, or Monday.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Robin is coming on.
Yeah.
But it's like alternating. They're only putting the movies for a very short period of time and alternating them and whatnot because they're all going to be on their own streaming service.
It's just so annoying.
Also, we all have the movies, so if we wanted to actually stream them ourselves, we could put them in a DVD player and watch them.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
But for the people who don't do that, you know?
It's just I just am really over like every single thing getting its own streaming service. Like that defeats the purpose of them.
Yeah.
Agreed. And it's getting frustrating.
I just want, like, Netflix. Give me a variety of things.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with, like, paying for 2-3 tops. No more than that. I'm not going to branch off
I'm not going to branch off
more of Netflix and Hulu and then probably Disney because that's who I am.
What
but
if
like,
they're $20 a month?
Exactly.
So you're at 60, and then what if you still have cable, which is insane anyway?
Yeah,
you know ridiculous. What I'm saying? Like, who wants to spend $250... dollars when you add in wireless? Nobody wants to do that,
right?
Yeah, I'm not gonna waste my money on that.
That's crazy to me. Whatever. I'll just buy your DVDs, Disney.
I mean,
again, I would do Disney.
I like have almost all of them anyway, but I'll probably stream it just because they'll put super old stuff that like probably isn't even released anymore on there, which will be really cool.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
but
I would do Disney, and I like Netflix. I don't ever really watch Hulu anyways.
I really only watch Hulu for The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
But like I don't like I have a profile on my dad's Netflix and then I have a profile on my sister's Hulu, so I pay nothing. Yay me. But I guess they're cracking down on that. They're gonna see like how many profiles you have and then charge you more.
Yeah,
because I technically also have one on Matt's Netflix because Matt's Netflix is on the TV. I'm boothing on that.
Yeah, it's you know, it is what it is.
It's the times, man. It's the times.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, it's time for the rubber recap.
We're bringing it back to classic. All right. Last time, Harry tried to lie to Sirius about his scar in an attempt to stop him from traveling and risking getting caught. But nice try, Harry. Sirius's own words. He makes it back in town safe and sound, though. We find out Harry has a strong mind and can resist the Imperius curse. It's announced when the students from Beauxbatons and Dormstrang, is that how you say it? We just learned. Will arrive, and the school can't talk of anything but the Triwizard Tournament. Fred and George are still being secretive. Hermione's still on a house elf rampage. Beauxbatons arrives in a horse-drawn carriage the size of a house, and Dormstrang emerges from the lake on a giant ship. And who's on that ship? Crum! Crum! Crum!
Oh, gosh.
Crum!
Things get fiery in this chapter. Or one would say a whole goblet full of fire. Students, old and new, gather in the Great Hall for the welcome feast with some added dishes from other countries. Ron is not pleased. The students find out who the judgy people are going to be, and they have 24 hours to put their name in a hot cup that flames, and it will choose the people. So Dumbledore draws a line in the sand, well, I mean on the floor, and people were wishing they were older to cross it when there's a consequences, I guess, is what I meant to say. So Harry, Ron, and Hermione visit Hagrid. And once at the Halloween feast, I don't know why I struggled to read that word. The names are called with a surprise ending, the end all be all. Harry Potter.
Ermagor, Victor Krum. So Ron basically loses his mind.
You spelled Victor wrong too.
Oh, I'm not right.
Victor.
I knew
Vicky.
Vicky.
Isn't that a song from what's it show? Fairly Odd Parents, Icky Vicky.
Yes, yes.
Throwback.
That's another one we could talk about on our Nickelodeon podcast.
Get out of here.
Along with My Shiny Teeth and Me.
Yeah.
Song by the same.
Chris Kirkpatrick is the singer.
Chip Skylark.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So good.
You can guess for Rocker's Modern Life.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hermione's basically telling Ron to chill out because he's only a Quidditch player. And Ron's like, no, he is one of the best seekers in the world. Second to Harry Potter. Ron didn't know that he was still in school, which I find to be pretty interesting, seeing as how Ron is, like, very up to date on the wide world of Quidditch.
Right, and he, like, loves Crumb.
Yeah.
I feel like that right there is just, like, a telltale sign of a difference between Europe and America. Like, here we would know everything about that player. Everything down to his favorite color, his favorite food, where he was yesterday, what he was wearing, what he's doing. Whereas, like, in England, it's
who's
just
he
like,
snogging?
It's just like, oh, yeah, he's a Quidditch player. He's the best seeker in the world. End of story. That's it.
Yeah.
It's quite different.
Too, nowadays, we would know everything about it. But I wonder, you know, 20 years ago,
right?
They might not know more than 20 years
ago.
They might
have the
technology.
Yeah, 20 years ago, all they cared about was, like, the royals. I mean, it's true. Just watch The Crown. It'll tell you all you need to know.
It's a good show.
Lee Jordan is trying to get a better look by jumping up and down. I just thought that was pretty amusing. Sixth-year girls are searching their pockets to try and find Quills to get his autograph. And one of them says, do you think he'd sign my hat and lipstick?
Oh, my God.
I'll do
probably.
I've been in that moment, though, like, oh, my God, I don't have a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm. Hermione is judging pretty hardcore. And I said, come on, Hermione, you need to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, she's a little
very, very opinionated in this chapter.
Yeah.
Lots of peppers.
Yes. Ron wants his autograph, too, but no one has a Quill for him. And I said, well, your tune's going to change soon enough when it comes to Ron.
Oh, yeah.
Crumb and the other students from Dormstrang were wondering where to sit, and they ended up settling in at the Slytherin table.
Yeah, that's right. I got the cool guy.
I mean,
Crumb's okay. There's nothing wrong with him.
I have Luna. Woo-hoo-hoo! And Cho.
I'd rather have the whole thing than a Crumb.
Well, you also have all of the Beauxbatons students because they sat at the Ravenclaw table.
Katie gets Cedric. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Not for much longer.
Wow. Oh.
Okay.
Goodness deep, real quick.
So the Beauxbatons students are being pretty judgy. They had their shawls around their heads and they had really glum faces. And I'll get to another quote later on where they're being pretty judgy. And I said, I bet they wish they were totally hating on Hogwarts right now. Yeah.
When I was rereading this part, I legit just thought of Queenie going, I can't tell if you're making a joke or if you're just French.
Oh my gosh.
Don't be judgy.
So when the Dormstrang students came in, Ron's pretty much like trying to push Hermione off the seat to make room for the students because he really wants Crumb to be at their table.
Poor Hermione.
So when they end up sitting with Slytherin, Malfoy's and his little crew of cronies are looking very smug that they got Crumb and the Dormstrang students sitting at their table. Ron was very upset about this turn of events. And I said, he's like fanboying really, really hard. And he's also, like, trying to give up his bed in order to have Crumb be able to stay in the Gryffindor common room. Like, he's like, I bet I could, like, sleep on a camp bed or something like that.
So funny.
And Hermione, like, snort laughs at this, pretty much making fun of him.
You guys want to compare me to, like, Ron with Crumb and me and Taylor, but I was literally sick. I wouldn't have been thinking of these things. I, like, wanted to vomit.
Yeah.
She did. She wanted to.
I know.
I mean, like, I wish that I had had his enthusiasm, but
no,
that's not the truth.
So the peeps from Dormstrang are taking off their furs and they're looking around and they're examining how awesome the ceiling is. And
this sounds funny. They're taking off their furs.
Oh, they were. Like,
what? You've seen Anastasia when they're not performing, but they're trialing Anastasia's.
Grandma, yeah, it's me,
Anastasia.
She's got furs on. That's nope. What I think of. Sorry to interrupt you.
You need to watch it too.
That movie.
I know, I should.
So good.
It's coming to
You've never
Playhouse.
Seen that movie?
It's so The musical's good. Coming to Playhouse Square.
It is so good.
Maybe I'll see the musical.
I'm going to.
They're also admiring the golden plates and the goblets. They're impressed, as you should be. We balling at Hogwarts. Phil's just busy adding chairs to the head table, and he's wearing his best moldy tailcoat in honor for the occasion. I said, maybe you got it the same shop as Ron's dress robe.
Oh. I wonder if they matched.
I hope so. Filch adds four more chairs, two on either side of Dumbledore, and Harry questions this, but Ron is like pretty much not paying attention to him. He's like, he only has eyes for Crumb. It's insane. Madame Maxime comes in and the Beauxbatons students jump to their feet, and some of the Hogwarts students laugh at this, but it's just a sign of respect. And this reminds me of, you know, different customs that mm-hmm. different cultures have. And I just put a note in here that I always try to talk to my students about this and how to be respectful, because we do a morning share every morning, and like we'll do like favorite food. And some kids are like, well, we eat a lot of like fish at home. And kids will be like, eh. But I'm like, listen.
Everybody's allowed to like what they want.
Hard
like.
No.
Someone's going to think that your cereal's ew because they like to eat fish in the morning. You know what I mean?
Who eats fish in the morning, though? Is that a thing? Oh, I guess bagels and lox and stuff.
I mean,
or like, yeah, bagels yeah, yeah, and yeah. salmon. And
but like, just about being is, respectful.
Yeah.
And so my man comes on up. He's amazing. And he says, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, ghosts and most particularly guests, said Dumbledore, beaming around at the foreign students. I have great pleasure in welcoming you all to Hogwarts. I hope and trust that your stay here will be both comfortable and enjoyable. And some Beauxbatons girl was being rude. She was like, basically like, and so Hermione's like, no one's making you stay.
Yeah.
But she whispered it, so it wasn't like that, you know.
She should have said it out loud.
I know. She was being defensive about the best school in the world, and, you know. So
Isn't
there's that.
A specific person that we know yeah. that said it? Yeah.
So the tournament will be...
It was Fleur, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably. The tournament will be officially open at the end of the feast, said Dumbledore. I now invite you all to eat, drink, and make yourselves at home. So, the speech is over for the first part, and the plates fill with yummy foods, and it says the house elves seems to have pulled out all the stops because this meal is fierce. There is a wide variety of food in front of them, and it's more than usual. And I said, I like this. It's making the guests feel more at home.
Mm-hmm.
But Ron, you know, he's being Ron, and he's pretty much closed off to new foods. And I said, Megan, eat the brioche bun.
Not that I don't like brioche.
She just didn't want it.
Want one.
Oh, my God. So Ron says, what's that? Said Ron, pointing at a large dish of some sort of shellfish stew that stood beside a large steak and kidney pudding. Bouillabaisse, said Hermione. Bless you, said Ron. It's French, said Hermione. I had it on holiday summer before last. It's very nice. I'll take your word for it, said Ron, helping himself to black pudding. Come on, Ron.
Not that I'm with
black
him.
Black pudding, but he won't try bouillabaisse.
But I like black pudding.
I mean, I guess when you grow up with it, you don't think about it, but...
But I'd also... I'm an adventurous eater. I'd try it at least.
Yeah.
I'm the most adventurous eater sitting at this table. Let's
All right.
Lying is a sin.
Gonna continue. There are barely 20 more students in the Great Hall with both of the schools being there, but it seemed to be even more crowded. The dorm strength students removed their... for like their robes, like their outer robes, and what they're wearing is deep blood red robes, which I thought was pretty cool. I like that blood red.
Do you think they're stained with real blood?
I would hope.
Of Grindelwald's enemies.
Whoa.
Hagrid comes into the hall about 20 minutes late, and he slid into his seat, and he was waving at the trio, and I think that's super cute. And they noticed that his hand was heavily bandaged, and it says... Scroot's doing all right, Hagrid? Harry called. Thriving, Hagrid called back happily. Yeah, I'll just bet they are, said Ron quietly. Looks like they finally found a food they like, doesn't it? Hagrid's fingers. And then a girl comes over from Beauxbatons, and she was the same one that laughed during Dumbledore's speech. She finally removed her muffler, and she had a long sheet of silvery blonde hair, and it fell almost to her waist.
What is a muffler?
Isn't it, like, is that for your hands? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You put your
hands
in it.
That's what I thought, but it just confused me, because, like, then they talk about her hair, and I'm like, why do you say she removed her muffler and now she's got long hair?
Maybe it's, like, one of those things.
Well, maybe
it's like a scarf.
They want to talk about the fact that, like, she had long hair, Vilas have, like, hair.
No, I know. It's just a weird sentence. It made me confused as to what a muffler was, but go ahead.
Well, she had large, deep blue eyes and very white, even teeth. Ron went purple.
Source of like purple.
Because she asks, excuse me, are you wanting zibulubes? And Ron basically can't talk. He makes a gurgling sound. And Harry's like, yeah, yeah, go ahead and have it. You have finished with it? Yeah, Ron said breathlessly. Yeah. It was excellent. You're an idiot. And basically, that's also what Hermione thinks. But I find this interesting because she picks up the dish, goes back to the Ravenclaw table, and I was like, why didn't it refill? The dishes refill?
Maybe the international food didn't because the elves only had so many ingredients.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I opened up this recipe, though, and it looks nasty.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to Ron on this one. But I did pull up a bouillabaisse recipe from foodandwine.com. Yeah. So.
Not my cup of tea.
It's got leeks, onion, fennel, garlic.
All that so far is fine.
I'm literally reading this going, I'm like, there's nothing in her I wouldn't eat.
There's a lot of fish in it.
Fish stock, lobster. Yeah,
there's a lot of fish.
Fish stock, lobster, clams, monkfish.
Yep.
Red snapper and halibut.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Gordon Ramsay dish.
I would try it.
I do not say blah, 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 but
I'm not into seafood that much, so it's not
gotta really
my
like
kind
it.
Of thing. So, yeah. So Harry laughs at Ron, and that pretty much snaps him out of it. And he was like, "She's a Vila," and Hermione's like, "No, she's not. No one else is gaping at her like an idiot." And then, but that's not completely true because across the Great Hall, many of the other boys. Somebody who's swish and flick, get out of here. Okay. We're temporarily speechless when she walked back, and Ron is like so sure that that is not a normal girl. And he says, they don't make them like that at Hogwarts.
Ooh.
And Harry disagrees, and he replies with, they make them all right at Hogwarts. And he's thinking about Cho.
Ooh la la.
So.
How about Ginny?
Mm-mm. Not yet. Hermione draws their attention to who just arrived, and it's Ludo Bagman and Barty Crouch Senior. Harry is very surprised to see them there. But he shouldn't be because Hermione knows that they organized the tournament and I'm surprised that she didn't tell them this. But they're shocked just the same.
Sorry to go back, but sure. Peisha asked a good question in the Discord chat. Why do you think Jo portrayed Fleur so negatively initially? Or is that just me finding her super annoying?
No, I think it's her part of her character arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isaiah then replied and said, I never found her annoying. I just figured she was French. LOL. Kind of like Queenie.
I don't know. I just figured it was part of her arc because I feel like she comes in feeling like she's just like high and mighty and competing in the tournament itself and not doing very well at all. I feel like knocks her down a peg and she has to become like a real person. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in marrying Bill later on, I think it's just all part of her story and getting along with Molly and stuff like that. So I enjoy it, you know,
so do I.
You know, as rude as she is now, I like how she ends up.
I agree.
I also like shout out to any of our listeners who might be from France. We love you.
All the French people who have contacted us. Super nice.
Tis true. The golden plates, golden, are cleaned and they're ready to start something great. Harry feels a slight thrill and everyone seemed to be so excited to begin. The moment has come, said Dumbledore, smiling around at the sea of upturned faces. The Triwizard Tournament is about to start. I would like to say a few words
of explanation before we bring in the casket. The what? You're all gonna die.
No. Oh my God.
Just to clarify the procedure that we will be following this year. But first, just let me introduce, for those of you who do not know them, Mr. Bartimus Crouch, head of the Department of International Magical Cooperation. There was a smattering of polite applause. And Mr. Ludo Bagman, head of the Department of Magical Games and Sports. And there's a much louder round of applause for Bagman. He's pretty much famous.
Woohoo! Quidditch player!
Yes. So,
what?
We find out they've been working really hard for the last few months arranging the tournament, and they will be judges as well as the other school leaders. Filch brings over the casket after lurking about in the corner of the hall.
Creep.
Correct. And the casket is covered in jewels, and it looks extremely old. If you go to Pottermore, there is a snippet of, and a little bit of like a reading on the Goblet of Fire. It is a flame-filled wooden cup, which is impartial selector of the Triwizard Champions.
How ironic.
Magical properties. The ability to pick the most worthy candidates from the names that are entered.
Maybe.
Possible. Could it
I
be?
I think it's funny that it's a wooden cup that's mm-hmm. on fire.
Yeah, so there's not really much. It's just a lot of movie stuff. Pardon. Dennis Creevy stands on his chair trying to be able to see. But just like me, on top of a chair, he still can't see. I feel that. So I wanted to end my section with my main man's explanations of what's going to happen. The instructions for the task the champions will face this year have already been examined by Mr. Crouch and Mr. Bagman, said Dumbledore, as Filch placed the chess carefully on the table before him, and they have made the necessary arrangements for each challenge. There will be three tasks spaced throughout the school year, and they will test the champions in many different ways. Their magical prowess, their daring, their powers of deduction, and of course, their ability to cope with danger. At this last word, the hall was filled with silence. So absolute that no one seemed to be breathing. Take a breath. As you know, three
Katie.
Champions
I was taking a breath.
Compete in the tournament. Dumbledore went on calmly.
Weird.
One from each of the participating schools. They will be marked on how well they perform each of the tournament tasks, and the champion with the highest total after task three will win the Triwizard Cup. The champions will be chosen by
Chosen. Are you Sean Connery?
I am. I'm Walter Cronkite. Impartial selector, the Goblet of Fire. Dumbledore now took out his wand and tapped three times on top of the casket. And the lid creaked slowly open. And there was a vampire! No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Oh my God.
Dumbledore reached inside and pulled out a large, roughly hewn wooden cup. It would have been entirely unremarkable had it not been full to the brim with dancing blue-white flames. Dumbledore closed the casket and placed the goblet carefully on top, where it would be clearly visible to everyone in the hall, except Dennis Creevy. Anybody wishing to submit themselves as champion must write... All right, you want to be champion, okay? He wants to be champion. So anybody wants to be champion must write their name and school clearly upon a slip of parchment and drop it into the goblet, said Dumbledore. Aspiring champions have 24 hours in which to put their names forward. Tomorrow night, Halloween, the goblet will return the names of the three it has judged most worthy to represent the schools. The goblet will be placed in the entrance hall tonight, where it will be freely accessible to all of those wishing to compete. Dun, dun, dun. Green.
Well, there's a little trick here, though.
Oh, do tell.
Dumbledore announces that he's going to be drawing an age line around the Goblet of Fire. So he'd already told them that the age limit was going to be 17 at this point. Thank you. But he had not told them how that was going to be, you know, enforced. Mm-hmm. To me, though, this seems easy. Are there no other ways, no better ways to ensure that no one underage will enter there are ways around this. I mean, Dumbledore says it himself that, like, he asks Harry, did an older student put your name in the goblet for you?
We're not there yet, so I don't know what you're saying.
But it just, like, I feel like there could have been a better way.
Well, but here's my thing, though. Even with him asking him that, it's still the fourth champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I think that, like, negates stuff a little bit. I think he realized, like, oh, shoot, like, it was tampered with. Four champions came out of it. But I think it works where people grow beards and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I feel like...
Well, what would you
I don't
have
think there's
do?
So many ways around it. Like, people try it and they get denied.
What would you do differently?
I don't know. I'm not Dumbledore.
Okay.
Megan would have knives shoot up and stab him.
Some booby trap.
I don't know. Like, honestly, probably have somebody patrol it.
That'd be a good idea.
It's yeah, not, that's not a bad
it's
idea.
It's not like it's...
It's only for 24 hours. Have the teachers alternate and like only let someone pass the age line.
Yeah, the teachers do it. They don't have enough on their plates.
Tiffany, do it.
Do it.
You can have like the armored suit.
The ghosts. Yeah, the suit. Yeah, somebody.
Do your duty to your school.
Or like have the portraits be watching and be like, yo, Dumbledore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Broski. Homeboy's trying to...
I just feel like there's so many like... There's so many people and objects watching in the school at all times.
Private eyes.
I just feel like there's so many things and people watching at all times at the school that it would be. I think it's pretty remarkable that nobody saw Judy do what he did.
Yeah. I think he did it. Oh, I guess he would have had to.
Could he be under
an invisibility
cloak? He could have
done it at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but I'm just saying, still, like, ghosts, portraits.
Or maybe armor. They didn't think anything of it because he's a teacher.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Just teaching around.
Just thinking my thoughts.
I gotta go get her.
Dumbledore impresses on the students that by entering, this is a contract that they are signing. So, you know, if they're chosen... There is absolutely no way that you can change your mind.
Magically binding.
Yes. So these tasks are dangerous. So I also found just like the Wikia has a little thing about the age line. It's not really much more than we know, but I just thought that I would bring it up.
What color do you think it is?
It says it's gold.
Oh, that's what funny. Color in my would head, you do? I pictured it blue.
Well, in the movie, it was blue and white. In the movie, it was like a blue-white.
That's probably why.
Because I think of like a chalk line.
Yeah. So
but
it says...
gold makes more sense.
It was the outline of the Death of the Triwizard Tournament. Get it? Chalk line, outline, chalk outline.
Oh, my God. It did come in a casket.
So we don't know the incantation to cast the age line enchantment, but it... Enchantment, but it is used to prevent people above or below a specified age from accessing a specific object or place. Alana would be much too young to enter the Triwizard Tournament. Yes. Did she like that I said your name? Hi, Alana.
Sweet pea.
Hi, Alana.
Hi.
So, on the 30th of October, 1994, Albus Dumbledore casts the age line on the goblet of fire in the Great Hall at Hogwarts Castle to restrain underage students from placing their names in the goblet for the Triwizard Tournament. He traced a thin golden line with a 10-foot diameter on the floor around the goblet to show how far out the enchantment reached so people couldn't pass within 10 feet of the goblet.
Lob it
couldn't
in there.
Toss it in. So people who attempted to bypass the line,
LeBron. He probably could have
had something happen to them. And we'll talk about that shortly. So Fred and George are psyched. They're like, an age line. This is easy. We'll just take a drop of age potion. Once our name is in there, it won't know how old we are. And Hermione is not convinced. She says, there's a reason there's an age line. We haven't learned enough to do the tasks. And then Fred and George laugh and say, speak for yourself.
I love this scene in the book when she's sitting there and she's like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then he's like, why is that, Granger? It's so good.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, slams her book.
I think this is also one of those moments where people are like, I could totally see Hermione and Fred together. Yeah. What else do you think?
Don't bite it. That's silly.
Okay, so the aging potion also has a Wikia page. And it is a potion, a powerful potion, that causes the drinker to temporarily become older. So I did always wonder, is it just temporary?
Whoa.
You're awesome.
She's so cute. She like makes a noise and she's like, I gotta look at it.
Yeah.
Tell us more. What do you think about an aging potion? Huh?
Do you want an aging potion?
No. We don't. We want to stay a baby.
You're so cool. Alright, we'll never finish. Keep going, Meg.
Okay. So it is temporary. It only temporarily makes you become older, and the more the potion is drunk, the larger the aging which occurs.
So could you take like a whole vial and get like super old?
Yeah.
But it would only last for so long?
Yes. Also,
don't blink.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Don't blink. They say that about like kids, you know, don't blink, because before you know it, they're like,
oh, Dad, don't put that in your mouth. If it's plugged in.
It's not.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I mean, it is, yeah. Well, they miss the computer.
So, yeah, the only time that we ever see use, really, of the aging potion is in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
Harry imagines, so after Fred and George are like, well, you're going to enter, aren't you, Harry? So he imagines himself winning and then wonders just how mad Dumbledore would be if someone did get past the age line. And well, then I said, well, it depends on the book or the movie, I say.
I didn't see your note and I was going to say that. That's so funny.
Because in the book, it's pretty calm. And in the movie, it's not.
Oh, my God.
At all.
So Ron's listening to the is not listening to the conversation at all because he is looking for Crumb.
Crumb.
Dumbledore didn't say where the Durmstrang students were sleeping, did he? He asked. They see Karkaroff get up and gather his students, and they're heading back to the ship. And he specifically asks Victor if he had enough to eat or if he wants any mulled wine from the kitchens. And a different boy says, Professor, I would like some wine. I wasn't offering it to you, Polikoff. I notice you have dribbled food all down the front of your robes again. Disgusting boy. And I said, okay, this poor kid. Why is Victor getting such special treatment? It's gross. I hate teachers and people like Karkaroff. So.
Yeah, because how is that other kid going to feel? First of all, you're embarrassing him in front of his peers and in front of...
It's kind of another...
strange peers.
It reminds me very much of the ferret situation, but like different. Yeah. You know, calling somebody out like that, putting them down. It's not cool.
But I feel like... Not condoning this. But I think that is very much his teaching style, and they're probably used to it. So we knew he was going to ask, and he wasn't going to get anything, and he's a jerk, you know? Yeah.
Side note, mulled wine is quite delicious.
Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
I like it.
It's not my favorite. I don't hate it.
I just like that it's warm and cozy.
Because typically it's made with red. It's made with red wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't hate it.
So as Karkaroff and the students are leaving, Harry moves aside for them, and then they... meet eyes. Karkaroff and Harry meet eyes as they leave, and he stops to take Harry in. It's kind of creepy. So he slowly, like, he stops, and then he slowly moves his eyes up his face to stop at Harry's scar. Karkaroff is clearly hating on him here because, you know, he banished his lord. Mad-Eye Judy comes around and says, yeah, that's Harry Potter, and his voice is all gruff and everything. So... Karkaroff spins around and is scared because he sees who he thinks is Moody, but it's actually Judy. He should be scared either way, honestly, though.
True.
Because, one, this is Mad-Eye Judy playing his part well because he is an auror Mad-Eye Moody is an Auror who captured dark wizards and is very known for that. And Karkaroff, I'm sure, knows that Moody would know that he was a Death Eater.
Well, he was there.
He was on trial. Correct. Like, he knew.
Yes.
So he's scared in that sense. But he should also be scared because Mad-Eye Judy sees Karkaroff as a coward. Mm-hmm. He got out of Azkaban and gave away other Death Eaters' names, so he put Judy in jail.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
So he super hates him. And I think that that just, like, helps Moody play Judy, play Moody's role here really well.
True.
Yes.
I'm sorry for anybody who finds that super confusing, but just, you know, catch on to the fact that Judy is Barty Crouch Jr. as Moody.
We're just training your brains.
Well, yeah. We just want to remember, because I know it's hard for me to remember that this is not the actual Moody.
It's correct. Real hard.
We're dealing it with the fake
Barty
Moody,
Crouch Jr.
Barty Crouch Jr. Moody, David Tennant Moody.
Yes.
Moody. Moody.
So according, you know, since... according to JK, the next day was a Saturday, though it actually was a Monday in real-time life. The students normally would have gone down to the breakfast late, but the hot cup of fire is out and waiting patiently for names. It's pretty hungry right now. It was placed on the stool that normally holds the sorting hat, and there's a visible thin gold line around it, which is the age line. So Ron asks the third year who is there, what's happened, if anybody's entered, and she says that the Durmstrang lot have entered their names. And then here come Fred, George, and Lee, looking super happy as can be. They're so excited. They just took the aging potion, just one drop, because they only need to be a few months older to get past the line. And Hermione is convinced it won't work. And she says Dumble will have thought of this. I mean, she's not wrong. So they step over the line. And for a second, Harry thinks it works, and then both twins are hurled out of the golden circle and thrown across the hall. They land 10 feet away, and with a pop, long white beards sprout on them. Lee Jordan is laughing hysterically at them, and Dumbledore appears, like, out of nowhere and is just like, you guys should probably go to Madame Pomfrey. She's already tending to Miss Fawcett, who is Percy's love interest, correct?
Mm-hmm. No.
Is
that's
it?
Penelope Clearwater.
Oh, you're right.
She's the one that she lives near them because they mentioned her at the
beginning
of the book.
Right. Yes. That's right. That's right. So she's already tending to Miss Fawcett of Ravenclaw and Mr. Summers of Hufflepuff, who tried to cross the age line earlier.
I would like to point out that the only house here not trying to hoodwink the cup is Slytherin.
Thank you. We're good. We good peeps. Basically, we just don't want to be embarrassed like all you guys.
Oh my God.
Attention, dear Swishers. Adventures out there. Why settle for ordinary chain store coffee when you can have an adventure in every single cup with Expedition Roasters, artisanal roasters of pop culture coffees. Now you can experience a little theme park magic every day at your home. Each themed bag features custom artwork by a guest artiste that makes it perfect for displaying in your kitchen or office or wherever you'd like it to be displayed. Try one of our premium wizarding roasts like Booksmart Blueberry, Charming Chocolate Cherry, Cunning Caramel Crunch, or Big Hearted Butterscotch. All of our coffees are certified gluten and allergen free, so start your coffee adventure today at expeditionroasters.com and use coupon code SWISHFLICK15 to save 15% off your first purchase. Also, they have teas. Brew your happy place.
Also, side note,
they do have teas. They're very yummy.
Yeah, we need to order some tea.
Yeah, we should. Can we use our own discount code?
Sure.
Yes.
Also, I'm going to give a little shout out here really quick because they're actually the ones that introduce us to Expedition Roasters. But for any Swishers who have ordered coffee already and want more, you can use the Brookhart Projects code Brookhart15 and get another 15% off a second order because they also have a code and they're the ones that told us about Expedition Roasters. Literally the moment Expedition Roasters posted the house coffees, Sarah from the Brookhart Project texted it to me and was like, you need to get these. And then I did. So.
And then I did.
Shout out to them.
So yeah, if you want a second code, you can use Brookhart15.
I mean, I think you could use a Swish and Flick one more than once.
I don't think you can.
It's for off your first.
Use.
Yeah.
It's one time use.
Also, that's B-R-O-O-K-H-A-R-T. 15.
Yeah. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible's offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. So just go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title for free, and start listening. Why Audible? Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. You can get all 7 of the Harry Potter books, Fantastic Beasts, Quidditch Through the Ages, History of Magic, and a Behind the Scenes of Crimes of Grindelwald audiobook. I listen to all the Harry Potter books on Audible on my long drives to and from work, and when you sign up with our code, you get one audiobook for free. So you can pick whatever book that you'd like. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast.
Do you know what time it is?
Halloween time?
Yeah! This is Halloween. Oh, Coke. I mean, Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I mean, Coke.
The usual Halloween decorations, classic Hogwarts, live bats, hundreds of carved pumpkins, and I like to think that they really extra did it up as well because they have guests. I wonder if they brought back the dancing skeletons that were rumored that one year. I think that was year one. Do you remember that?
I need there to be dancing skeletons.
Yeah. At the Gryffindor table, we have Dean and Seamus discussing who from Hogwarts might be entering the tournament. There's a rumor that Warrington, that big bloke from Slytherin who looks like a sloth, quote, entered. And Harry's disgusted and says, we can't have a Slytherin champion. Rude, Harry.
No, that's rude. I agree.
Also, your own son is going to be a Slytherin, so... And Meg just left the room, and she's not going to hear that.
But. You can't defend yourself, Sassy Snake.
All the Hufflepuffs are saying that Cedric Diggory is going to enter. Spoiler, he does. Extra spoiler, he is the champion.
Double extra spoiler, he does.
Angelina Johnson put her name in already. I think she would have been a good contender.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that before.
I could have been a contender.
The trio decide to go visit Hagrid, and Hermione's like, yeah, I can talk to him about Spew. I haven't yet. So she runs off, and here's Harry, who goes, hey, Ron, it's your friend, because the students from Beauxbatons were gathering around the Goblet of Fire, and the Vila girl was among them. And one by one, they all put their names in. As each name was entered, it turned briefly red and emitted sparks. So Hermione comes back with her badges. And Ron's like, oh, good, hurry up. And he jumps down the stone steps. He's keeping his eyes on the back of the Vila girl. Their relationship. And it's extra funny that she ends up in their family. Her brother, yeah. His brother.
Yeah.
Hermione starts saying that they've been... Oh, I'm sorry. I just jumped ahead. Hagrid's excited to see them. He's like, about time. Thought you'd forgotten about where I live. And Hermione's like, well, we've been really busy. And she just stops talking. Stops dead. She's lost for words because Hagrid was wearing his best and very horrible hairy brown suit plus a checkered yellow and orange tie.
Okay.
This wasn't the worst of it, though. He had evidently tried to tame his hair using large quantities of what appeared to be axle grease. It was now slicked down into 2 bunches. Perhaps he had tried a ponytail like Bill's but found he had too much hair. The look didn't really suit Hagrid at all. Poor Hagrid. He's just trying.
Yeah. I just think it took him 2 whole months to go and see him.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's sad. Be better friends to him.
I know they were busy, but usually they go down like after the first day of classes.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Hermione quickly recovers and is like, so how's the Scroots? And Hagrid said they're getting massive. They must be nearly 3 feet long now, but they've started killing each other.
That's like almost as big as me.
Yeah. Sames. There's only about 20 left. And Ron's like, well, that's lucky. And Hagrid misses the sarcasm. So the talk turns to the Triwizard Tournament again. That's what everyone's talking about. And Hagrid seems to be as excited as they all are. And he almost says something about the first task, which will make a lot more sense later. But he catches himself and he's like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but just so you know, it's going to be spectacular. The champions are going to have their work cut out. And I bet he wouldn't be saying half of these things if he knew that Harry was in danger of competing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Plus, earlier, I think it was this chapter, Hermione was like, we haven't learned enough. She says that to Fred and George. Right. So it's just like and reinforcing.
Fred and George are in seventh. No, they're in sixth year, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just reinforcing the fact that, like, Harry should not be a part of this competition.
Think of how excited Hagrid is for this first task, though.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't tell them. So he's probably like, it's going to be great, but, like, scary, you know?
Meg, I want to bring up a topic again now that you're back.
Sorry.
Harry was disgusted at the thought of a Slytherin champion. And I defended you and said, hey, your own son's going to be a Slytherin.
I
didn't.
I said, good.
Yeah, what snakes. About his son? What about Scorpius? What
he
about
he ain't here yet.
I defended you.
Well,
babe.
I mean, there's a whole thing dedicated to Slytherins and Goblet of Fire and Time Turners, and you know, Harry has issues
for Voldemort and Valor, guys.
For Voldemort and Valor.
For V&V. So they had lunch at Hagrid's. He served them what he said was beef casserole, but Hermione found a talon.
Oh, God.
And they all lost their appetites.
What is it?
Good question. What has talons?
Talon.
Do they have talons?
Maybe it was hippogriff.
Who knows?
Yeah.
What if it was? He wouldn't do that, would he?
Do the Scroots have long talons?
Super long talons.
And I love this image. A light rain had started to fall by mid-afternoon. It was very cozy, sitting by the fire, listening to the gentle patter of the drops on the windows, watching Hagrid darning his socks, and arguing with Hermione about house elves, for he flatly refused to join SPEW when she showed him her badges. Hagrid, like many other people that Hermione has encountered, says it'd be doing them an unkindness. It's in their nature to look after humans. It's what they like. It would make them unhappy to take their work away and insulting if you tried to pay them. And Hermione's like, what about Dobby? And Hagrid said, well, you get weirdos in every breed.
Does he really say weirdos?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Dobby.
Hagrid reminds me sometimes very much of Ron. They can be the same kind of level of like he'll learn, but he does have sometimes thoughts that I feel are a little bit
dated.
Yeah. Him and Ron are kind of one and the same sometimes with that.
Well, like that's why I love them both. Like the Wizarding World, like a lot of the times they're progressive and a lot of the times they're really not.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the fact that they use a quill and ink when pens have existed for a long time.
Yeah.
My crap. Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Quills are sometimes cool. I just want to be like, Hagrid, no.
Yeah, we can have a self-inking quill.
Yeah, magic. Why isn't that a thing? I mean, that's like, that would be amazing.
Maybe they and just
parchment. Ink would never spill on anything.
Because it's more magical. The aesthetics of it, whatever.
Whatever. Do you think at home, witches and wizards use pens and stuff? It's just like Hogwarts requires quills.
Half-breeds. That's a not nice way to say it. I would say half-bloods and muggle-borns for show.
Yeah.
Isn't a half-breed a Cher song?
I don't know.
I agree with that. I would think that muggle-borns for sure. I bet you there's muggle-borns at Hogwarts that use pens.
For sure. And then I bet you like some pure people are like, what is this sorcery? I must own it.
It and Arthur Weasley is a Cher song. Ooh, a pen.
You ever see those Tumblr posts about that? And then there's that one where like Muggleborn shows up with a thermos and it keeps their drink warm all day. And the kids are like, what is that? And they're like, it's thermos. And then you see a bunch of purebloods pointing at their cups going, thermos. And then someone's like, and what if it actually works?
Maybe that's where Muggles got it from.
Maybe.
All right. So it's about 5:30, and the trio know that they should be heading back to the castle for the feast. But more importantly, the announcement of the school champions, because that's what they care about.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
So Hagrid tells them that he'll come with them, but then he like goes searching for something in his dresser. And then they smell something truly horrible and ask him, what's that smell? It's a fun game to play. He seemed a little worried that they didn't like it, and then Hermione asks if it's aftershave. Mm. He mutters a response saying it's what is wrong with me? Eau de cologne. maybe it's a bit much, so he's going to go take it off. So he then goes outside to wash himself in the water barrel. And so Hermione is amazed that Hagrid would be using eau de cologne. And then Harry asks, what's with the hair and suit? So then they're like kind of peeking on him outside. They see Madame Maxim and her students leave their garage heading to the feast. They couldn't hear what Hagrid was saying, but he was talking to Madame Maxime with a rapt, misty-eyed expression that Hagrid had only ever seen him wear once before when he had been looking at the baby dragon Norberta. Ah, young love is what I have in my notes.
Dude, Hagrid and Newt are the same person.
They really are.
Yeah.
How does Newt describe Tina's eyes?
That scene is so funny.
It made me cry a little bit. Like, I got teared up. Mm-hmm.
Not allowed to say.
Oh, it's so cute.
Just don't mention nothing about no salamanders.
So Hermione notes that he's going up to the castle with her. She thought he was waiting for them. Nope, you've been forgotten, Hermione. And then I was like, I wonder, has this ever happened to you guys when, like, one of your friends gets into, like, a relationship or, like, the beginnings of a relationship and they forget that you exist, basically? Happens to me. Not happens, but it's happened. Oh, no? Okay.
No, I guess I'm lucky.
I don't know.
I had that happen.
I'm trying to think.
No.
No.
But I know people do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. That's the thing.
So without so much as a backwards glance at his cabin, Hagrid was trudging up off the grounds with Madame Maxime, the Beauxbatons students following in their wake, jogging to keep up with their enormous strides. So Ron's like, he fancies her.
So then I like the trio's that word, like, fancy.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
So they're like, we probably should leave. So they leave the cabin and they are heading back up to school. And on their way, they watch the Durmstrang party also head up to the school from the lake because they're staying on the boat. So it says, Victor Crumb was walking side by side with Karkaroff, and the other students were straggling along behind them.
Someone has a favorite.
If that's not, like, so telling, I don't know what is.
The fact that equal standing, basically, between a student and the headmaster. Mm-hmm. But I guess, like, Dumbledore would totally do that with Harry.
Every time somebody says Victor, I just think of that song that the twins sing in the
Victor, I love you.
Victor, I do. When we're apart, my heart sings only for you.
Hermione's going to be saying that, and Ron's going to be real jealous.
Yeah, he is.
So
he's
the great
an artist.
Sorry. Katie.
So the Great Hall was almost full of people and candles. The Goblet of Fire was moved in front of Dumbledore's empty chair at the teacher's table. So Fred and George seemed to be taking their disappointment pretty good. And Fred says, he's like, I hope it's Angelina. And then Hermione agrees. And I said, ah, more young love. It's not to last, though, sadly. The feast seemed to take twice as long, probably because, one, it was their second feast in 2 days. And Harry didn't seem to fancy the extravagantly prepared food as much as he would have normally, because it had been literally 24 hours since the last feast. And also, everyone's impatient about finding out, like, who the champions are going to be. And it's after what seemed like forever, the plates were removed, and then the judges, and that's Dumbledore, Karkaroff, Madame Maxime, Maxim, whatever, Ludo Bagman, when I first wrote that, I put Badman, and I laughed at myself. And Mr. True. Crouch, who looked bored, stood up near the goblet. And so I'm going to read a bit. And it says, he took out his wand. Yes.
Do you think that Mr. Bagman is only doing this for... I mean, do you think... Let me start that over. Do you think Mr. Crouch is only doing this for Bagman? Like, Bagman begged him to do this project. Like, I want to do this. But he needed Crouch's, like, agreement to do it. So Crouch is just kind of along for the ride, basically, to humor Ludo.
Isn't he part of the department that put it on?
He is. Well, yeah, he is. But that's why, like, I feel like this was probably Ludo's idea. Like, yeah, we should do this. How cool would this be? Because he's so extravagant and over the top. But, like, he needs the cooperation of Crouch and his department in order to make it happen. But Crouch doesn't really care about the Triwizard Tournament. He's really just, like, doing it because it's another one of Ludo's projects, and it is what it is. You know what I mean?
I kind of feel like Barty's doing it because he wants like another like notch in his belt, and bringing helping to bring back the Triwizard Tournament could be like such an epic thing. But also, I feel like Bagman's doing it so he can make some more bets because I feel like he has a problem.
He does.
I agree there.
I would think that Crouch is going along with it because no matter what, it was going to happen, and they were in the. He has to, as the head of his department, he has to be there. You know what I mean? So it's more of an obligation than anything else.
I think he's annoyed, but I think he's more annoyed with his personal life.
Agreed. Because right now he's like probably freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day.
All right.
Till the end of time.
Dumbledore takes out his wand and he gave a great sweeping wave with it. At once, all the candles except those inside the carved pumpkins were extinguished, plunging them into a state of semi-darkness. The Goblet of Fire now shone more brightly than anything in the whole hall. The sparkling, bright, bluey whiteness of the flames was almost painful on the eyes. Everyone watched, waiting. A few people kept checking their watches. So everyone's like sitting there waiting on bated breath. And then the flames inside the goblet turned red again. Sparks flew from it, and the next moment a tongue of flame shot into the air and a charred piece of parchment fluttered out of it, and the whole room gasped. Dumbledore caught it and read the parchment at arm's length in the light of the goblet, which was back to blue white. The Durmstrang champion, Victor Crumb.
The whole hall just ignites in crumbs.
Yes.
Crumb.
They all fall to pieces.
Yeah.
Crumbs all over the ground.
So no one's surprised at all. Crumb slumped his way towards the head table and went through the door into the next chamber. Karkaroff was loudest with his bravo for Victor. So the noise died down again, and the goblet's flames turned red again, and a second peach of peach. A second peach flew out.
Princess Peach is the champion.
A second piece of parchment flew out. The Beauxbatons champion! Brrr, fly to the goal! Oh, nobody cares about her. Okay.
So I mean, she comes in last place. I don't root for losers. I'm a Slytherin.
I mean, if you really think about it, Cedric came in last place because
he touched the cup. Oh, he tied.
I mean, he lost the most.
Yeah, but he still won.
Whoa. What did he win? Death?
He won the cup.
I can't handle any of this.
But I will say, I like the different way that the parchment looks in the movie. Like, Fleur's looks very feminine-ish, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's cute. So, Harry shouts, "It's her, Ron!" as the girl who resembled a Vila got gracefully to her feet. And then a little bit later on, Hermione goes, "Oh, look, they're all disappointed," she said over the noise, nodding towards the remainder of the Beauxbatons party. It said in the book, "Disappointed was a bit of an understatement," Harry thought. Two of the girls who had not been selected had dissolved into tears and were sobbing with their heads on their arms. Like, come
dramatic.
On. And there is an article on Pottermore that says how to react when you're not chosen as Hogwarts champion. But I'll read, we'll find out in two shakes of a lamb's tail who was the Hogwarts one. And then I'll read that article. So, oh, that sounds awful. Fleur goes into the light. I mean, the door. And then the whole crowd in the great hall is truly on the edge of their seats. The Hogwarts champion is next.
Who's it gonna be?
The goblet is red hot again. Sparks showered out of it. And the tongue of flame shot high into the air. And from its tip, Dumbledore pulled the third piece of parchment. Hogwarts, baby! Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! Their champion is Hufflepuff's main man, Cedric Diggory! And then I was like, why you gotta die? For Baldur and Valor. See, cursed child. And then I said, third or nothing. So, I'm going to read this now. So it says, we're reading Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This is when they were doing it for the Wizarding World Book Club. And I guess this theme of that week was jealousy. Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Says, playing in front of huge crowds of glory of your school, being lauded for bravery and magical prowess, instant fame, and exemption from exams, doesn't take a genius to work out you why you'd want to enter the Triwizard Tournament. I would rather live. With a firm age restriction in place and a gift of long white beards to whomever ignores the little rule, Hogwarts is thrown into scandal when Harry, a fourth year, is announced as the Triwizard Tournament's fourth champion. Harry's like... It says, while Harry remains nonplussed by these unprecedented events, Ron leaps to the conclusion that the infamous, except that's not what it says, the famous Harry Potter wanted a bit more attention and gets it so wrong. Instead of being proud of Harry or even asking Harry if Harry is all right, he just falls out with him instead at the exact point when Harry could have really done with his best friend, Ron. And it says, maybe Ron should have read our handy guide on how you should... actually react if you're not chosen Hogwarts champion.
Really?
Don't cry or shout or scream or generally make any kind of negative noise. Positivity is the name of the game here. Okay, the disappointment might be gut-wrenching. I don't think it is. Whatever. All those dreams of fame and glory and exam exemption turning to dust beneath your feet. Dust that is no doubt about to get kicked up even more by the actual champion, especially if the champion already gets more than his or her fair share of glory. But don't let them see you suffer. It makes you look bitter and jealous, which you may well be, but it's not going to help anyone, including you. So smile. It says, you've seen the Oscars, right? A gracious smile is the best way to save face. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Nod graciously, for that is what truly gracious losers do. They move their heads up and down slowly while smiling. See above. Oh my God. It says, congratulate the chosen champion. This is very important. Here's to looking at you, Ron. Says, after the dust has settled, seek out the chosen champion, especially if the chosen champion is a friend of yours. And then says, do not let them find you alone in your dormitory, hugging a pillow and or staring moodily at curtains around your bed.
Or judely.
Yes. Invite them to celebrate. If you were Hogwarts champion, you would want to celebrate with your friends, right? So bury those feelings for a while and get them a butterbeer. Support them. Unfortunately, you're going to have to keep this up for a while. You know, the public smiling and the not crying and the congratulating. You're probably even going to have to cheer for the actual Hogwarts champion, or it's plural. At some point, maybe make a sign to wave at the tournament, maybe admire some magical feats or other. Don't worry. No Triwizard Tournament lasts forever, but your support will be noted and appreciated and remember, which all in all is a much better look. So I think that's cool.
I like it.
So don't be mean to your friends.
Correct.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Check your jealousy at the door.
So Ron isn't happy that Cedric has been chosen and says no loudly, but he wasn't heard because every single Hufflepuff had jumped to his or her feet, screaming and stamping as Cedric made his way towards the door and into the next chamber. And it says, the applause for Cedric went on so long that it was some time before Dumbledore could make himself heard again. So Dumbledore starts to make his speech about how he knows he can count on all of the students to give support their respective champion. But he gets distracted because the fire in the goblet had just turned red again. Sparks were flying out of it. A long flame shot suddenly into the air, and borne upon it was another piece of parchment. So he's like... shocked. And so Dumbledore takes the paper and he reads the name, and there was a long pause where he stared at the parchment, and while he's staring at the parchment, everyone in the hall is staring at Dumbledore. He then clears his throat and read out, Harry Potter. And so I wonder what was going through his head at that point in time. Like, I wonder if he's thinking, like, I wonder if he knows it's connected to Voldemort.
It's immediately like, it's gonna, danger.
For sure. Because it's a dangerous tournament, but I don't think there's any doubt in his mind. I don't think he would think that Harry put his name in that. Like, I think he's just asking that in the next chapter to
clear the air for everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think he's worried about Harry competing in the test. And truthfully, I mean, I'm not either. Yeah, his magic may not be as advanced as the older kids, but it's him. You know, he's different. But I think Dumbledore's automatically thinking of something bigger.
I remember... Were you going to say something? I remember reading this for the first time, and the book, it has, like, a page and then, like, maybe a paragraph on the next... before it's the next chapter. And I remember reading... I saw that I was on the last part of the chapter, and I looked over, and the last words were Harry Potter, and I was like, oh, and I had to read super fast to see how that happened.
Oh, man. Pulling a Sarah.
Yeah, I didn't need to. My eyes just looked, and it was in italics. And
so there's a theory, too, and I tried, someone I swear posted it in our group, and then I couldn't find it, and I also didn't search that hard, about the fact that they chose, the cup chose not necessarily the best representation for the champions from each school, so that Harry had a better chance of winning and getting the cup that was a portkey.
Yeah, I like, if someone could find that, send it. But yeah. I wonder. I don't know. I saw, I think it's the article I put in here, but what they were basically saying in that was, so Mad-Eye Moody or Judy says that only an exceptionally powerful Confundus charm could have hoodwinked it.
Yep.
So the person's argument in this article was saying that in order to do this, they basically had to make, whoever this person was that cast this charm, basically had to make the cup forget how to do its job.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that it just picked four people at random? And since Harry's was the only one in whatever school they submitted, he automatically would have been the one who was picked.
Yes. Yeah.
So is that an argument? I don't know.
I
because
like
it did forget how to do its job. Yeah. So maybe all of the magical...
Because Tri-Wizard tries three.
Right.
So it had to...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Quadruple Wizard tournament.
Well, this is what it says. It says, because they hoodwinked a very powerful magical object, said Moody, it would have needed an exceptionally strong Confundus charm to bamboozle the goblet into forgetting that only three schools compete in the tournament. I'm guessing they submitted Potter's name under a fourth school to make sure that he was the only one in his category.
I think that's fair.
I think also, yeah, like to a point it would have had to been confounded, but like I think that its biggest job is to pick one person from each school that's submitted.
Worthy.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
The worthiest, quote unquote.
And I don't mean strongest to character. Like...
And because it was confounded, maybe it helped it decide who to choose.
Well, like, I don't mean to, like, stomp on Cedric or anything, but, like, we've talked about how we thought Angelina Johnson would have been a great...
Yeah, for sure.
Representation of Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, with... oh, what's his name?
It was nice to not see a Gryffindor get it. Sorry, Tiffany.
Shut your face.
I mean, I agree. It's they like nice to see that though. There's other houses. I mean, but like, I don't know. Things.
I'm going to talk up my own house because.
You should.
Because the best part of Hufflepuff is that we're most likely a mix of all the houses. So we don't always fit specifically into Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, or Slytherin. And we have skill levels all over the place. So. Having someone be in, like, not worthy, I don't like that word, but like the best judge of character, I could see it being a Hufflepuff because it could be someone who is a little bit of all the houses who just encompasses
Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hogwarts. I don't know.
I like it. I like it. I think he's a fine champion.
I'm just going to say he's a fine jam.
I think he's a good champion, but I do think that Angelina would have been an awesome choice.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because she's Gryffindor.
Do we want to go to Lightning Bolt?
Sure.
We have a couple.
Would you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? If we'll just say, assuming you are of an age and you're able to.
Yep.
I would not.
I probably would have.
Yeah, I probably would have.
I would have been like, eh, I'll watch.
I'd have put my name in. I would have gotten it, and I would have won.
Whoa. Would you be willing to try foreign foods at the feast?
Yes. Some.
Some of them. I don't
probably
eat
not
fish,
just
but
saying.
I would try other stuff.
Yeah.
I would have tried it. I mean, I'm pretty adventurous with trying food, so.
Not as adventurous as me.
Okay.
I ate escargot once.
How was that?
It's so good.
It's a texture thing for me. I didn't like the texture.
Mm. would you try to get an autograph from Victor Krum?
No.
I'd be scared.
I'm just not.
I don't know if I'd care enough.
Yeah.
I probably would.
Yeah.
I am so good at getting celebrity autographs.
How good are you with getting Dan Radcliffe?
Really horrible. really bad with Dan Radcliffe's, but
all of them.
I've gotten James and Oliver Phelps. I've gotten Michael Gambon.
Yeah, but how many of these did you pay for?
Not none of those. I didn't pay for those. Ivana Lynch, I got like two of her.
Three.
Ding.
Ouch.
It was real wild.
No, the only ones that I've paid for are Bonnie Wright, Tom Felton, and Matthew Lewis.
And Tom Felton.
Tiffany O'Malley. She's paid for that one.
But I did not pay for any of the others. I got those at the Celebration back before it was really hard to get autographs at the Celebration.
When there was a Celebration?
Yeah. If the visiting students got sorted into houses, where do you think Fleur would have gone?
Ravenclaw.
Victor and Slytherin, duh.
I think they do fit at the houses that they sat at, actually.
I'm not going to lie. I think Victor is a Hufflepuff.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Slytherin. That.
He does. He has a very... Not that Slytherins don't have a good heart.
No, you know what? I would 1,000% agree with that.
He's a loyal dude.
He's a Hufflepuff.
I think so, too.
Fleur... I think Ravenclaw.
I think that or Slytherin.
I was going to say
or
that.
Or Slytherin, yeah.
I was going to say that.
I think Ravenclaw.
I think a titch more Ravenclaw, but I could see her in Slytherin.
Mm-hmm. Her ambition doesn't really strike me.
Who in your life would have been under the lake in the second task? So essentially your treasured possession / person.
Iggy.
Not even Katie. Good gosh.
I'm kidding. It probably would be Katie.
Mine would be Miss
Quidditch. Probably.
Well, I think it could be you or Iggy or Teddy.
Cats over people. We know how you are.
My little fluff nuggets.
All right. Well, mine would be the same, except not myself. You.
See?
I mean, I don't,
again, I'm, how could I you say that? They can't be under the lake.
Well, like, would your
it
sister
could be
or
like your mom?
Or Tiffany?
Don't I sound so cool? My mom would be waiting for me under the lake.
It's not the wrong
it doesn't part. Have Possibly to be a significant Alana. Other. I mean, yeah. like...
I'm not saying it doesn't.
Harry
does.
Has Ron. Yeah. What about
we
Jen?
We don't know what they do.
What about Jen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jessica calls it marital discord problems. Just kidding. We're
Tiff,
good.
Would it be Marty or Alana?
Alana.
See? Gee, Iggy's my son. My God.
I'm celebrating my friendiversary with my son Iggy on Facebook today.
Oh, my gosh.
You've been friends with him on Facebook for 6 years.
Oh, you guys have any lightning bolt rounds?
Not a lightning bolt round, but someone in here talked about, have we heard the Warrington theory? And I looked it up.
Oh,
what is it?
Honestly, I haven't read that yet. I'm sorry.
So there's a theory that says, this is from Pop Sugar. It says, get ready to breathe in and breathe out. Harry Potter fans, a recent theory is sparking up a conversation on the internet on how the entire series could have changed. The single theory is based on one passage in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire involving the most underrated Hogwarts house, Slytherin. And it says,
how are they the most underrated?
Because people everybody hate us it. For no reason.
That doesn't mean you're underrated.
Yeah, it does.
People hate you.
So the speculation outlined by Tumblr user Crazy But Perfectly Sane discusses the idea of Cassius Warrington of Slytherin being chosen to compete in the Triwizard Tournament instead of Cedric. Both characters would still continue to help each other throughout the book up until the very end when Voldemort still decides to kill Warrington. The user discusses the possibility that this might have united the Slytherins against Voldemort so they could have fought against him in the Battle of Hogwarts. Pretty crazy, right? The entire post is below, so I'll read it. It's not terribly long. And the person goes, so I was rereading Harry Potter when I came across the thought, what if instead of Cedric Diggory, Cassius Warrington had been chosen to compete in the Triwizard Tournament?
Where does Cassius Warrington come from? Is she mentioned in the book?
Warrington is.
Warrington.
You missed that part of my section.
Oh,
Dean
okay.
Dean and Seamus are talking, and they're like, I heard Warrington.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
It says the big bloke that looks like a slither. Looks like a sloth.
Oh, right, okay.
And it says, imagine Dumbledore calling out the name of the Hogwarts champion, and it isn't a Gryffindor or a Ravenclaw or even a Hufflepuff.
Hey.
But it's a Slytherin. A student from a house most people hate. Imagine Cassius Warrington getting up and 3 out of 4 houses are booing at him and shouting things like, no, or we can't have a Slytherin champion, or demanding a retry. But he's a Slytherin. He's been dealing with this bleep since he got sorted. So he keeps his head high and joins the other champions. Imagine Harry trying to catch Warrington alone because he doesn't really want to associate with Slytherins. Plus, Malfoy seems to be around the guy all the time now that he's the Hogwarts champion. But at the same time, he's also fair enough not to want him to walk into the first task unprepared. Imagine Warrington walking over to Harry a few months later, and Ron and Hermione both jump into a protective stance, wands out, but instead of attacking Harry, he just tells him to stick the egg underwater because Slytherins don't forget those who have helped them out. Imagine Warrington and Harry helping each other out in the labyrinth. Imagine Harry being devastated when Peter kills Warrington because Voldemort doesn't care what house they're from. A spare is a spare. Mm-hmm. Imagine the uproar that causes among the Slytherins because some of their parents really are Death Eaters and they know what really happened. Imagine Slytherins fighting in the Battle of Hogwarts and shouting, "This is for Cassius."
Oh, that hit me in the feels.
And it says, however, the theory train didn't stop there. Another user, Platonic Jacuzzi, took it upon themselves to delve deeper into what Cassius' death would have mean to Slytherin, Hogwarts, and Harry. This would include Slytherins realizing that purebloods aren't safe from Voldemort, joining Dumbledore's army, and eventually facing off against He Who Must Not Be Named at last. And the rest of the imagined storyline is below.
Ooh.
That's even longer, so I don't know if I want to read it all.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, though.
I'll copy and paste this into the doc, and then we can
post it.
Post it, because I'm into that a lot. And I was saying, after watching Cursed Child, that I loved the fact that we're reading this book when we're going to see it, because it so much connects, and it's like a good refresher. I mean, so much connects. It's the whole story, but like, it's a good refresher.
I think that... you know, and we've talked about this a lot, but like Joe pushes those stereotypes of Hufflepuff and Slytherin onto the readers. And I mean, it's the stereotypes. It's, you know, you're reading about a kid who's basically going through high school and that it's going to be what it is and that's fine. But it would have been really nice to see her come up with a way to redeem Slytherin in the OG Seven novels.
Yes.
And I think that, I just think that, like, I get the stigma. Like, there is a lot of negative things that happen around Slytherin and with Slytherin. And, like, I think that potentially is why I like Cursed Child so much. Even, like, you know, I mean, I'd been talking about it with you guys since before, like, you two saw it. And I just think that the light that it sheds on Slytherin is awesome. And, I mean, granted, Albus and Scorpius do plenty of things that they shouldn't do and get in trouble, but it shows that they are good people.
Well, and Harry does a bunch of stuff that he's not supposed to, you know, and he's just looked
but he's glorified.
Looking at him, it's all about your perspective on any situation, you know?
So, I think this would have been, amazing. And it, like, there's no, not, you know, I do like, though, that she did choose to shine a bright light on Hufflepuff during this book.
They needed it, you know?
Yeah, but, like, I feel like there could have, like, that could have happened in a different way, whereas, like, this would have totally changed the Slytherins timeline.
Yeah.
Just completely. Yeah.
But it wasn't supposed to, you know what I mean?
No.
Well, she's also, like, shocked that people... She's like, why would you hate Hufflepuffs? Why would you think...
It's like,
you made us.
I'm not sure that she's necessarily shocked. I think she feels bad and she's trying to cover up. Just saying.
Oh, maybe.
But she created those things. I mean, it was meant for us to think those things. You know, writers write.
Definitely.
In order to make us think things. She wanted us to hate Slytherins. She wanted us to think that Hufflepuff was a load of duffers. And now she wants to, you know, kind of switch and change that. But maybe she writes that way to challenge us. To see who's not going to think that Slytherins are evil. Who's not going to, you know, disrespect Hufflepuffs.
I think, too, though, again, as I said before, like, we are reading this book from a child's perspective. Mm-hmm. Harry's perspective, who is in Gryffindor, the known rival of Slytherin. Bless you. The known rival of Slytherin. Bless you.
Thank you.
So... Like, she had to write things the way that she did. Like, that's, you know, that's how Harry's going to perceive them, and it is what it is. But that would have been a really cool redeeming moment. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
All right. Fan story?
Yeah.
Fan story.
Okay.
Fan story.
This
fan story.
Week comes from Kimberly. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for making this podcast. It's a bright spot in my week, and I'm always looking forward to the new episode coming out. To be honest, I don't remember how or when I started reading Harry Potter. I was always a reader as a kid, and I think at one point I picked them up and never put them down. As a kid, I worked at my family's farm stand, and every time I didn't have a customer, I would be reading and reading, finishing 7 and starting 1 again. It was something that me and my friends could all really relate to. Harry Potter helped me get through the anxiety problems I didn't even know I had as a kid. I could easily and quickly dive into Harry's world rather than face up to the real-life stressors I was facing. Looking back, that's probably where a lot of my love and obsession came from, the swift escape. In college, I met my best friend when I approached a group on my second date and asked them what they were talking about. When they shamelessly said Harry Potter, I knew I had found my kind. In high school, I went to see the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. The night before, I studied the map, and when we got there, I leapt out of the car and raced straight through Hogsmeade to the castle, where I immediately started crying. It was so overwhelming to see the embodiment of such an important place in my life I'm confused as to how this was typed. I'm sorry.
Embodiment of such an important place in my life that had not... Had only existed had in only, the books and on screen.
Okay, I'm going to start that again. It was so overwhelming to see the embodiment of such an important place in my life that it only existed in the books and on screen. In adulthood, I strayed from Harry Potter, being distracted with marriage, family, and work, but I found your podcast while renovating my 1860s home and used it as my entertainment while stripping the paint off my staircase or putting insane amounts of primer on the walls trying to cover the wood paneling. When I traveled to London with my sister in May, your podcast is what relit my passion for all things Harry Potter. You guided me to House of Mina Lima, where I got some stunning prints for my dining room. I just want to say a very sincere thank you for bringing the childhood joy and enthusiasm back into my life. Listening to Swish and Flick reminds me of a conversation with my own friends, and it reminds me how important finding magic and excitement in your day is. Thank you for doing what you do, and don't let the Muggles get you down. Kim. P.S. I'm a Slytherin.
Woo-woo!
P.S.S. If you're ever on Long Island and in wine country, reach out. I would love to treat you to a glass of wine and enjoy some Harry Potter talk.
Oh, nice. That's very kind.
Thank you so much for your story.
Thank you, Kim. Like,
thank
honestly...
Thank you.
I think Sarah said it maybe last episode or the one before that, like... We don't feel worthy of your praise, but it means the world.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you for coming back into Potter. Thank you for your story. And I would love to have a glass of wine with you and talk some Potter.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I'm yawning. You can find Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and then also follow us on Patreon. Join Patreon to get access to our Discord channel and to gain access to our bi-monthly episodes called The Felix Files. You can find us there at patreon.com/swishflickcast. And lastly, make sure that you check out our website, swishflickcast.com, to see all the info on us there and all of our merchandise.
Mm-hmm. Super cool.
I am not doing much besides being a mom and a wife. And teacher.
That's killing it, Tiffany.
In person.
That's doing a lot.
Yeah. I hope I'm, by this time, when this comes out, I hope I've played more Majora's Mask. I'm in the swamp, which is the first temple.
You got this.
Yeah.
I really want to start Mario Odyssey.
Let's do it today.
I would love to.
We'll make it home from the orchestra.
It's pretty good. I mean, as far as like 3D Marios go, it's pretty good.
Or we can bust out the GameCube games and play Mario Sunshine.
We can just bust out the Wii and play Mario Sunshine on there.
Pokemon.
Put Pokemon again.
I will be Pokemon Sword.
I'll be Shield.
Follow my wedding design / invitation design Instagram at Whimsy Wedding Design. I'll be posting all the stuff that I've made, and hopefully it'll probably link to like my Facebook page and stuff where I'll put some pricing and whatnot for invitation design. So if anybody needs any, I can also just do like digital ones and stuff and send them to you if you are overseas and don't want me to actually like print and assemble. I could just like send files for you to print.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
Go follow me and Meg on YouTube at Main Street 9 3/4 if you want to see some cool vlogs, Potter stuff, Disney stuff, London, Scotland stuff.
Also, we're going to begin vlogging our
New York trip, right?
Well, yeah, I have a vlog for our New York trip. That's going to go on Swish and Flick's YouTube. But on our page, Main Street 9 3/4, in a couple weeks' time from when this airs, we're going to start vlogging our fertility journey as a same-sex couple. So if anybody finds that interesting, you can watch that there. Yeah. I couldn't find a lot of stuff on it out in the tube of you, so I figured maybe we should give it to people.
I'm sure people are going to love it.
I hope so.
Because it's quite a different experience than a normal couple.
And even if not, we'll love to keep it documented. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, normal's relative.
Yeah. It's quite different than a heterosexual relationship.
There you go.
What about you, Sarah?
Did you guys finish your stuff?
Yeah.
I'm not really doing much with my life. Coming back, just got back from California by the time this comes out. And then my birthday's coming up. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm trying to think if I've done anything or read anything lately. Hopefully I've finished another book by the time this comes out, because it's in a month from when we're recording this.
You got some long flights. You can read on those.
There you go.
Yeah. So we'll see. Just trying to live my life, applying to schools and stuff, because it's stressful. And we'll see what happens. Who knows what I'll be in a month.
It's a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to be pretty busy, so we had to do these early.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
You're talking.
You're so cute. Look at you. You're a pro. You a natural.
Yeah.
Does that taste good?
It's gross.
She's like, I'm not gonna listen to you. I'm gonna lick it now.
What do you have to say? The Goblet of Fire.
Sweeping!
Hello.
Hi!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.